Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dr. Pavan Grover is here. Pavan is the graduate of the Robert Wood Johnson Medical School at Rutgers. He completed his residency at the Texas Medical Center and also studied in Australia. He's worked with doctors all over the world, especially in the area of pain management, cancer pain management, I think, is especially. And he's our new friend, Dr. Pavan Grover. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. So, as my audience knows, Pavan, I've been talking about healthcare reform for almost 20 years on the show with a number of other experts, and we still can't seem to get it right. Obamacare turned out to be what I predicted on the show with other guests. A disaster. We said it would be in 09 when they were putting it together. We said it would be in 10 when they signed it into law, and it just was going to be a disaster. It just wasn't hard to see. But now we're in the middle of this reform season of re-reforming and maybe abolishing and rescinding and relaunching healthcare in America. But you're concerned that there are three things that are not on the radar screen. I want you to share some of those with us.
Well, Jim, so you know the big discussion right now, as you said, is do we repeal Obamacare and then have a delay before we put another program in, or do repeal and replace at the same time? And what these plans are, they're not really taking into account that there's three seismic events that are actually occurring at the same time. You know, now one is, it has to do with the structure of Obamacare. As you recall, Obamacare was front-loaded. That means all the positive benefits, like the pre-existing, staying on your children's plan until 26, and the right subsidies, came first, right? The painful parts were structured actually to come in now, you know, as President-elect takes office. So all the bad stuff, all the difficulty is now coming in now. For example, there was a risk corridor that was in Obamacare to protect the insurance companies from losses for the first couple of years. Mm-hmm. Basically, the taxpayers, we've been paying for their losses. That fund has expired, and the reason that all these Aetna and United have dropped out of the exchanges and their poor financial projections. So currently, the current exchanges, there's very little choice. In some places, there's only one insurer.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right. Some states, in my state, there's only one insurer for individuals, too, who are not part of an exchange. It's
so even
really
without
bad.
Doing any changes, yeah, these people are vulnerable because of all that. Now, the second thing is that, they say that there's about 20 million people that were insured under, the ACA or the Obamacare. Now, 15 million of those was because Obamacare expanded the coverage for Medicaid, right? And Medicaid is the insurance
right
for people in government.
Right.
And so the way they incentivized the state is that if they expanded the Medicaid, the government would pay for all costs for a couple of years, right? So that's why some states, accepted Medicaid and the expansion because of that. But now that money train is running out as well.
Right.
So now we have 15 million people of Medicaid who the states have to now figure out, how to take care of that. The third thing is this new rule called MACRA, which starts this month. And MACRA is a fundamental change in the way that Medicare pays its doctors. So traditionally, like if I see you, Jim, you come to me as a patient and I charge Medicare a fee for service, right? So this system, like I said, it's a big upheaval happening at the same time. So instead of paying the doctor for a service, that reimbursement now is tied to the success of the outcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is it's not a very well thought out law. So, for example, it doesn't take into account that if a doctor is taking care of a patient, let's say he has a bad outcome, but it doesn't take into account how sick that patient is.
Right.
Or how compliant. I mean, we try to tell patients you've got to take your medications, but it depends on if you comply with the recommendations. So because it doesn't take that into account, and the fee is completely tied to how the person does, it's going to force doctors to find healthier, more compliant patients.
Right. They're going to try to, if somebody comes in with a back, if a neurosurgeon or an orthopedist, someone comes in with a back skeletal problem, and they're morbidly obese, they smoke, they've allowed themselves to have, you know, diabetes has been brought on in their lives because of their lifestyle, and then they want the doctor to operate on them and fix their back.
Yes. And
that doctor is going to avoid them under this system you're talking about.
Exactly. And just to give you an example of your audience.
Because
they can't win.
They can't win.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to fix that person.
No. And, you know, the reimbursement of the Medicare, just to give you an example, like a hip replacement, you know, the doctor gets, actually the lowest person on total, he gets about $700, right? Nobody really cares about doctors and how they make. But the problem is that with, you know, just fighting for that $700, the doctor's going to have to make some choices to stay in practice, which is going to negatively affect patients. So sicker patients will have a harder time finding a doctor who can give me a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of this is that the some of the outcome measurements are subjective. For example, you know, we all have been using what's called a pain score, right? From 1 to 10,
right,
it's your
right.
pain highest, which has been, you know, useful. Now that pain score is going to be tied to how much the physician gets paid. So
wow.
it's going to incentivize, you know, it's going to
wow.
be like, doctor, you know,
so,
if I get a dilated,
so the person I know who has zero,
you know, opiate,
the
yes.
person I know who has zero pain tolerance could cost, the person the doctor treats who has zero pain tolerance could cost him or her money.
Well, and then it'll force him to write more narcotics because they want to get that score up.
So, folks, these are three areas that Dr. Grover is concerned that have to be dealt with in the repealing and replacing process, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And you're concerned that these aren't necessarily on the radar screen like they should be.
They're not on the radar screen because, like, this MACA was passed during the heat of election.
Right.
So actually, President Trump has, you know, passed before.
Folks, and these are also examples of the horrible thing that Obamacare has become. It's just awful. And we're going to get Dr. Grover's ideas on the rest of it and repealing and replacing. How long should it take and what should it look like after these messages? 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.